Hello there, my name is McNeil and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about movies. We talk about movies that are currently playing in the theaters and topics related to cinema. If you like this type of content, be sure to follow my podcast on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also support my podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. What's up, everybody? Today is my next episode in a series called Journey to Black Widow. What I'm doing is I'm watching one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie a week leading up to Black Widow, watching them in chronological order. So today's episode, we are talking about Iron Man, and I'm here with my friend Jacob. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, McNeil. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. I'm really excited to be here. I was kind of nervous because, never done this before, so
yeah.
I'm ready to get this going.
Yeah, well, let's do it. So, like I said, today we're talking about Iron Man. Now, this is actually the first Marvel movie that was made in the cinematic universe. It was, the first one was actually released in 2008, so this is the one that kicked it off. Do you remember the first time you saw it?
Let's see. Honestly, no. 2008, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I was 8 when it came out.
As you say, you're 8, I'm probably 9, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a no-go on the remembrance.
Yeah, I honestly, I can't remember the first time I saw it either. I actually remember watching it, or wanting to watch it for a long time. I saw it at Blockbuster when that was still a thing. And my dad never wanted me to watch it because he was like, it's about terrorists. You can't watch this, son. You're only 8 years old. And I was like, okay, so I guess I had to wait. So I waited and finally saw it, but I don't remember when I first saw it.
Yeah,
I just remember kind of... watching it, but I don't remember the moment. I can't pinpoint a time when I saw it. Yes. You know,
same. It was funny rewatching it yesterday. See, this was before Disney had Marvel, and you had scenes like.
No, Disney had Marvel when they made Iron Man.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Yeah, they Marvel was kind of not necessarily bankrupt, but they didn't have a right. They didn't have rights to a lot of their characters for movies.
Yeah.
And X-Men was with Fox, Fantastic Four was with Fox, Spider-Man was with Sony, and Iron Man was a different production company or whatever. But eventually, they got the rights back to most of the characters and were able to make this universe. So, yeah, I think Disney definitely had Iron Man at that point, and so they kind of planned this cinematic universe with Iron Man and led everything all the way up to Endgame.
Yeah. Okay, well... I was just thinking about when Disney bought Marvel Studios. So that was probably when I was thinking about.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, you got the scene where, this is 2008, and then you got the scene where Tony brings home the reporter. You know, we were young, and your parents were like, oh, don't watch that part, you know?
Yeah.
About yesterday, I was like, oh, dang, this movie's kind of old, because I do remember looking away from that.
Yeah.
So that was,
yeah. I remember there were a couple movies my parents didn't want me to watch when I was young. In the same year, that Iron Man came out, The Dark Knight came out, and those movies were a little bit more intense than the typical comic book movie. You know, you had the Joker and The Dark Knight, but you also had, you know, terrorists in Iron Man. And my parents were like, oh, it might be a little too violent for you. You're only 8 years old. I finally watched the movies, and I was like, this is what you were talking about? So at the point in time, I was like, I don't like the movies that much when I was maybe 10 or 11 or 12. But I did like them, but it was I thought they were going to be much more violent, I guess. So I definitely liked them. But yeah, both of those movies were really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like I said, this is the first movie that kicked off the Marvel Universe. And Robert Downey Jr. plays Iron Man. And he actually was not necessarily the actor that Marvel wanted. Jon Favreau fought for Robert Downey Jr., who... directed the first two Iron Man movies, and he also played Happy Hogan, forehead of security.
Yeah.
Like that joke he said, I think that was Iron Man 3, but yeah, so they were looking at some other actors to play Iron Man, one of them being Tom Cruise, who I just could not see him playing Robert Downey Jr. Or not Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark. I couldn't see Tom Cruise playing Tony Stark.
Yeah, it would seem like an absolute stretch. But we have Robert Downey Jr. and we've seen him all the way through. But who knows? Maybe back then is having him as Tony Stark, growing out a cool goatee, Might have worked.
I can't picture Tom Cruise with that goatee.
I just know for a fact there'd be a run scene, and that would be, you know,
yeah.
Tony Stark would be running.
Yeah, definitely. But some of the other actors that were considered were actually Hugh Jackman, Sam Rockwell, who played Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2, and also Nicolas Cage. That would have been a mistake. Nicolas Cage as Iron Man, that would have been horrible, I think. I don't like him as an actor.
I agree. Like, I don't hate him as an actor, but like, that's, I don't see him in this kind of role.
Definitely not.
And like I said earlier, like, we've seen Robert Downey Jr. That is his part, you know? Can't see it any other way, especially with him. Couldn't see it happening.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man is one of those actors where it's so iconic to where I don't think it could be replaced. It'd be like replacing Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. You know, like, you just can't see another actor playing that role.
Yeah.
I was that way. I thought about Heath Ledger that same way as the Joker. And now there's Joaquin Phoenix. So, still like Heath Ledger better, but Joaquin Phoenix was great. But it's like, I don't know who else could play Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see anybody being able to replace him.
It'd have to be a new character. Like you're saying with the Joker, like, yeah. you had one Joker from the Dark Knight series, and then you had the Joker standalone. Like, yes, they're playing the Joker, but those are two totally different roles.
Yeah. It's like Iron Man. Yeah, I mean, if there was a different interpretation, it could work. But it's like, I don't know how you interpret Tony Stark differently. You know, he's a very specific personality, or he has a very specific personality. Like, he's very sarcastic, witty, very intelligent. He's arrogant, narcissistic. He's got that really cocky attitude, I guess, and he just doesn't really care about what people think of him, or sometimes in a way, like, the things he achieves. Like, he got that award, he wasn't there, and he was actually, like, in a casino.
Oh, yeah.
And he got, somebody gave him his trophy, and he just handed it to somebody else. He's like, here you go, have fun.
Immediately gives it away.
Yeah, which I honestly really loved that scene. I thought that was great.
That was hilarious. That's one of the things, like, you watched it so long ago that you never, one of the scenes you really don't pick up on. It's just like a quick here and there, here and gone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Watching it yesterday was like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I really, really enjoy his personality. And it's almost like Robert Downey Jr. is playing himself, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I saw an interview with Robert Downey Jr. talking about when he read the script for the first time, and Jon Favreau really wanted him for the role. Marvel didn't, because he had that reputation of, you know, the drugs and alcohol and everything. And he related to the character a lot, from what I understand. I could be completely wrong, but I believe that he really related to the character and thought that this was a perfect opportunity to jump back into acting, you know, and he thought it made sense. And I mean, it worked. Like, nobody thought this movie was going to work as well as it did, because Iron Man was like one of those B-list superheroes in the comic books. Not that many people knew who he was. You know, people knew the Black Sabbath song Iron Man.
Yeah.
But not that many people knew who Iron Man was, like, as a character. And then the movie came out and everybody fell in love with Robert Downey Jr.'s performance as Tony Stark, you know?
It was awesome. It was like,
yeah.
It was such a great introduction to the character, because he was such a rough, like, he didn't care, and there was so much growth in that one movie, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just fun. It was so fun to watch. Like, he, like, billionaire, doesn't care, narcissist, and then turn around into the movie, he's like, he is Iron Man, he wants to take that mantle. It was so cool. I love the movie.
You can kind of see how he's becoming the guy who's, at the end of the movie, he's kind of somewhat willing to make a sacrifice in a way. Not like Captain America. I talked about that in my Captain America podcast, or my podcast episode, where he Captain America is the guy willing to make the sacrifice. But in the end of Avengers Endgame, it's Tony Stark, you know, and I think that speaks a lot to his character. And that's something that I could kind of see. I kind of predicted that, but that's something you kind of see built up through these past 11 years. You know, through all the movies that Robert Downey Jr. has been in as Iron Man. He's just a very iconic character.
Absolutely. And, like, when you were saying not many people knew about Iron Man, like, I didn't know anything about comics, anything like that.
Yeah.
And these movies were the first, like, introduction to this entire world of, like, oh, Iron Man, Captain America, all this.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did it start the cinematic universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it started like, oh, like there's a whole nother universe.
Right.
On a page somewhere.
Yeah, because with Marvel, it's like everybody knows Spider-Man, everybody knows Hulk. A lot of people knew Captain America, but nobody paid that much attention to like Iron Man or Thor or even, you know, some of the other original Avengers, Black Widow and Hawkeye, the original Avengers in the first Avengers movie. And then you get characters that are introduced later on, like Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody knew who they were at all. Ant-Man, you know, you got all these characters that everybody really, really loves now, and they're all in this big movie at the end. But Iron Man's the one that started it all. And yeah, he's a character that most people were just blown away by, especially because of Robert Downey Jr.'s performance, you know?
Yeah, oh, wow.
That's one of my favorite comic book character performances of all time.
Oh, like, honestly, the Iron Man movies are, all of them are awesome. Like,
yeah.
I wish they would make another one just to scratch that itch. Even though, spoilers for Endgame, he died.
Yeah.
I hope everybody watching has heard that or has seen the movie. But I loved everything he's done as a character. This movie started something so awesome.
Yeah. He's a great actor. I think he's really good at kind of, you know, playing himself in this role and everything. But, yeah, like we're saying, he's a very, very iconic he plays a very iconic role as Iron Man, and it's something that I don't really think can be replaced.
Absolutely not.
But speaking of Robert Downey Jr.'s performance, pretty much every scene in this movie is improvised with him. I don't know if you knew that before.
Yeah,
before
that's
you and I started talking here, but
yeah, I did not know that. And honestly, I couldn't even tell. You can't. That's not like you can't. You can't even tell.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know if I can't speak for every scene in the movie, but from what I've read and from interviews I've watched, the movie generally is, the majority of the movie is improvised, and there wasn't much of a script, and people were just kind of, you know, basing everything they do around Robert Downey Jr.'s acting.
Yeah,
which is crazy, especially that they would go this loosey-goosey with a movie that they knew was going to be a hit or miss, most likely a miss, because nobody knew who the character was. It was a risk that they took, and they decided to, you know, just kind of improvise and see what happens.
That kind of goes back to, like, Robert Downey Jr., this is his character, you know?
Yeah.
If he's playing himself, what script do you need? If he's, like, he's playing himself, just let him do his thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that also speaks of the chemistry he has with all the other actors. Like Gwyneth Paltrow, who plays Pepper Potts. At that point in time, Terrence Howard was playing Rhodey, not Don Cheadle, who was recast in Iron Man 2. Jeff Bridges as Obadiah Stane / Iron Monger.
Yeah.
John Favreau. You know, you got all these big-time actors in the movie, and the chemistry with all of them, I think, is really strong.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing, like... How did you feel about the recasting of
Don Cheadle?
Yeah,
as War Machine. So, I mean, most people think that Don Cheadle is better, I believe, and I'm on that side of the camp. You know, I might have felt differently if we didn't have Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard was still War Machine. I might have really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I like Don Cheadle better as an actor, so that's probably why. What about you?
Yeah, honestly, like, growing up, I was like, why would they change this actor, you know? Like, oh, I wanted to see him in the Iron Man suit. And then getting all the way to Endgame, I was like, I'm kind of glad they made this change.
Yeah.
It's same thing as we said earlier. It's like Iron Man was made for this role. I couldn't see anyone else doing it. I couldn't see anyone else being
War Machine.
I couldn't see anyone else being War Machine. I don't know why I'm blanking
Rhodey.
So hard
right now. I think his chemistry with Don Cheadle is better, and it maybe is because I think Don Cheadle is slightly better of an actor than Terrence Howard, and I like Terrence Howard as an actor.
Yeah.
But and not that his chemistry with Terrence Howard was bad at all, but it was, I don't know, it's just not as memorable as his chemistry with Don Cheadle, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, talking about all the different characters that he, you know, he interacts with, is there like a favorite character you have that he is kind of like, you know, a favorite supporting character, or if just if something that sticks out to you in the movie that's like a favorite scene of yours or anything?
Favorite scene. So, favorite scene slash character. I would say Rhodey. And
yes, your favorite supporting character.
Absolutely. My big thing is like, I want to be a pilot. And Rhodey was just like, he's in the Air Force. He's a pilot. He's just all around.
So you can relate a lot.
Yeah. He's a bad A. And he's like somebody that I'd want to be. Like, not everybody can be Iron Man, but real people can strive to be like Rhodey. Just awesome. Like, what's the word? He's got
that like that military attitude. Oh, yeah. You know, I really like his character. I think I wish he was used more in these movies. I wish he was developed a little bit more. You saw more of his character.
Absolutely.
But if my favorite supporting character would probably, even though he's not in this movie all that much, is Happy Hogan.
Oh, that's what I was gonna talk to you about.
But also, for some reason, every time I rewatch this movie, every time Phil Coulson, who's the SHIELD agent, mm-hmm. that's approaching Pepper Potts and Tony Stark, I love his scenes for some reason. They crack me up. He's supposed to be like this guy from this big secret organization, and he shows up. He's like, "Hello,
yeah,
can we set up a meeting, please?" And I'm like, "What the heck?"
Yeah, he's just like
he cracks me up.
And they're like, "Whatever, whatever." Like, we've got things to deal with.
Yeah,
but he's a part of something so much bigger, and they're like, "Whatever, who cares?"
Yeah, he just seems like overly polite for the character. Or for somebody that's coming from that type of organization, you know? And I just thought that was hilarious. And, you know, speaking of, you know, things being hilarious, I just kind of thought of this. It was like, this movie is one of the first comic book movies that really kind of adapted that style of humor that Robert Downey Jr. brought to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, the Marvel movies are known for kind of having, I guess, I don't know if I want to say slapstick comedy, but maybe slapstick comedy. They're kind of known for just having these one-liners that are so like quotable almost. And Iron Man is another movie that, you know, kind of started that. If you look back before, it's like X-Men, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy with Tobey Maguire, and, you know, just some other, you know, early 2000s comic book movies. And there wasn't that type of humor until Iron Man, and now other movies are trying to, you know, use that as something to, you know, try to gain audience members.
They did a really good job. Like, there were some really funny parts in this movie.
Yeah, and I mean, right off the bat,
take out the trash.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, that was funny. I mean, everybody's got funny moments. Uh-huh. You know, even like random characters like Phil Coulson. You know,
oh yeah,
he shouldn't have died as early as he did in the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I gotta keep myself back because I did watch the Iron Man 2 right after Iron Man 1. So I gotta make sure I don't bleed the two movies together.
Yeah.
But everybody had their moment. But I feel like Jon Favreau, did he have his moment in the first movie?
I don't really know. I mean, he wasn't. I want to say, you know, rewatching it yesterday, I never realized how little amount of screen time he had.
Oh, so little.
I didn't remember that. I mean, I've watched this movie so many times, and I could watch this movie. I could put it on repeat after I just watched it again.
Yeah.
You know, after I just watched it. But, I don't think his performance was super crucial. You know, I think it becomes more crucial in the next one.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, you know, now he's like a character. He's a main supporting character in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
You know, so his role has gotten more important, probably because he's no longer a director.
Yeah.
Like he was the director of Iron Man and Iron Man 2. And his performance became more crucial in Iron Man 3, and that's when Shane Black came in to direct that. But yeah, so
I can only remember one scene from Iron Man that he was in, and that was just, I don't know why I remember this part, but he was outside of the arc reactor lab smoking, and that was it. That's all I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just kind of remember seeing him kind of walking in the background in a couple scenes.
Yeah, that was it. And like, yeah. I don't know. Because I thought it was weird. I was like, this character is like later on is so huge.
He's very funny too.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then you come back to this first movie, and the only part of this movie I can actually remember of him is smoking outside of the lab. That's it.
Huh. I don't know. Was that like like kind of like halfway through the movie or something like that, or yeah, towards the beginning.
It's when Tony Stark, he gets back from being in captivity, and Obadiah Stane, they would go into the big arc reactor, and like as he's walking in to the building with Tony, you see Happy taking a smoke, and then they walk in the building. He's like, split second, that was it. That was, that's the only part that I can remember.
Next time I watch it, I'll have to pay attention to that. I don't know why I can't remember that, but yeah. Do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
Favorite scene? That's a tough one. I'm a big fan of all of his suiting up scenes.
Yeah.
And an actual scene, probably just the final fight scene with the actual Ironmonger and Iron Man duking it out.
Yeah.
They could have made the entire movie like that, and I'd have been happy.
Yeah. So are you kind of like a sucker for big action sequences?
It's not that I'm a sucker for the big action sequences. I'm just a sucker for the suit. The suit is both of them. I could watch this all day.
Yeah. I do like his suiting up scenes. They're really cool. They're very different from like the newer movies we have. Like in Infinity War, you see like the nanotech he has.
Yeah.
So it's really different. He's got like all these machines putting a suit together, and now he can just like press a button on his chest and his suit just appears. You know, that's kind of cool. So it's cool to see like the evolution of his suits. If I had to pick a favorite scene, I don't know if I could pick a favorite scene in this movie.
It's tough.
Usually there's like a scene in most movies where I'm like, that's my favorite part of the entire movie. But with Iron Man, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's just like, it's an all around good movie where you're like, I enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of really cool things in the movie that are kind of like these little hints at the things that they're going to build. And I talked about that in my Captain America podcast as well. It set up a lot of things for the universe, but so did Iron Man in a way that you kind of had no idea that they were going for a bigger universe when they just made this one movie about an origin story of Iron Man. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a scene where Pepper Potts comes down into his lab area, and he's getting the suit taken off him. He's got the bullet wounds, and she's like, oh my gosh. And he says, we got to be honest, this isn't the worst thing you've caught me doing, you know?
Yeah, that was
but
serious.
In the background, you see Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
I noticed that like one of the first times I saw the movie, and I was like, is that Captain America's shield in the background? So yesterday when I was watching it, I was with my friend Will, and I was like, dude, pause it. Look at that. He was like, I never noticed that. What the heck?
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't even notice that. I was too busy watching the tech.
Yeah. It's like that movie didn't, Captain America didn't come out for 3 more years.
Yeah.
And there's a shield sitting there in the background in Tony Stark's lab.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of things like that where they're hinting at these, like these buildups. Yeah. But yeah.
And this was the more obvious one is just Pepper Potts and Tony. Like we never knew how far that was going to go, you know?
Yeah.
And then start off as just that's his like assistant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we never knew that years down the road that they'd be getting married and stuff like that and having a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an obvious one, but still like we never knew that it was going to go that far.
Yeah. But yeah. Another little hint that this movie drops is the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, as a big thing now, people are like, do you stay at the end of the credits? Do you need to see this at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
But this is like the first movie that really did something like that. And since I didn't see it in the theaters, I don't know if people actually stayed. But at the end, it's Nick Fury standing in Tony Stark's house.
Yeah.
And he is approaching Tony Stark. And he's like, you're part of a bigger universe that you don't understand yet. I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. And people will probably, like, if they're comic book fans, like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? Why is Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury? You know, it's like, we know that it's him because he's got the eye patch. Yeah. But that's probably the biggest hint. That's not even a hint. That's just like, here you go. Here's our master plan.
And is that like the first after credits scene?
Ever?
Yeah. Well, not ever. I don't know about ever. The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I believe so, but I could be completely wrong. There could have been something in like one of the X-Men movies from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I know there wasn't anything in like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
But
Because I'm just thinking, like, who would sit there after the entire credits and be like, oh my God, look at this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if they had, like, a sign out. It's like, stay for after the credits to see a special scene or something like that. Like, if I were a fan at that point in time, I would want to know that.
Yeah,
for because I would not know to stay for this after credits. I know it's a thing now. Like, I know to stay after a Marvel movie. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I wish if I were had seen that movie in the theaters, that that's something I would have known. But, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? Like, the end credit scenes are such a big thing. Like, as somebody who goes and tries to see every Marvel movie,
yeah,
it kind of bleeds into other... I don't know about this, if this is the same for you, but it bleeds into other movies. Like,
yeah, for
I'll
sure.
I'll go watch a... nothing to do with Marvel or anything like that, and I'm like, I wonder if there's an after credit scene. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, I've done that with other movies. I know Star Wars isn't one. Star Wars doesn't do that. Because
yeah.
When Star Wars cuts, they cut and it's done. I never even thought to stay there. But I've had some friends be like, dude, do we need to stay after the credits? I'm like, no. Not no. For Star Wars. That's not a thing. Star Wars has been around forever. They have their formula. Not a thing.
Yeah, they get their,
but
they
other,
get their crawl.
Yeah, but like some DC movies, you know, I'm like, maybe we should stay. Some Planet of the Apes movies or something like that.
Yeah.
But or Fast and Furious movies, that's a franchise that does it. Yeah. They do. They started, they didn't originally do it, but once Iron Man came out in 2008, they're like, maybe we should have our own post-credit scenes. And I think they actually started that. It was either with the year after or a couple years later. But yeah, I mean, a lot of franchises are picking up on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of cool, you know?
It's just, in my opinion, it's just a good addition to a movie.
Like, yeah.
It's a part of the movie for me. It's like, oh,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can talk about that. Like, you'd be like, oh, did you see the after credit scene?
But it's almost like, it almost kind of is separated from the movie, too. It's like its own little thing. Yeah. It's like almost a little, like a unique trailer, you know? Like, I was actually reading last night, the reason they decided to put that scene at the end is because they didn't want it to be associated with the movie. They wanted people to talk about Iron Man and that movie as a movie and that scene separately.
Yeah.
And putting it at the end of the credits really... it was a successful idea, mm-hmm. you know? So I thought it's also a kind of a cool little marketing gimmick.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're getting people to stay for the credits, even though you're not going to pay attention to it. You're just going to look at your phone. And then once it starts, like, oh, let me put that in my pocket and we're going to watch this, you
yeah.
know? So,
yeah. You asked me, if I remember watching the movie, when I first watched the movie, do you remember watching your first after credit scene?
My first after credit scene.
I feel like that's even harder to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, it might have been a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember. It was Avengers, the first Avengers movie in 2012.
Yep.
And I was with my family and a friend and his family and everything. We were 12 years old. We were freaking out. Although he told me he doesn't remember seeing that movie in the theaters anymore. So that's kind of upsetting. So I was like, that was a big moment for everybody. But so we stayed after the credits. We knew that there was going to be something and you saw Thanos. And I was like, dude, that's Thanos. Cause you know, I was somewhat into the comics when I was younger.
Yeah.
I wasn't like a diehard fan, but I knew that was Thanos and I knew that meant he's either going to be the next movie or something. So that got me researching, like, what is the next thing they're doing? You know?
Yeah.
I think that was actually my first post-credit scene. What about you?
I remember the one where they're sitting. I think that's also the Avengers movie. They're sitting in the cafe.
And shawarma.
Yeah, shawarma.
Yeah.
I remember that, but the one I, like, truly remember, like, the actual after-credit scene, I think it was, what movie was it? I think it was one of the Captain America movies, where at the end of it, you had the twins.
Yeah, that was at the end of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's the one I like. That's the one I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one as well. And I was excited about that. I stay after the credits all the time now. And it's a big thing for everybody. Like, whenever I go see a Marvel movie, I don't think I've ever seen a Marvel movie like by myself. Like, people know that I go to the theaters by myself to see movies that.
Same.
Like, most people that don't want to see something like a movie that's kind of like more Oscar bait. You know, but a Marvel movie, I've always got at least one friend going with me. Everybody loves these movies. And everybody's like, we got to stay after the credits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the after credits thing is a really big deal. Yeah. You know,
you see people that leave, though.
Yeah, it makes me mad. That I'm kinda... like, you're missing out. You're missing out. This is the most important part. And you have no idea, you idiot.
Yeah. Like, it's like I said earlier, it's kind of like a part of the movie.
Yeah.
You know? And but at this point, who doesn't know about the after credit scenes? Like, I understand. I understand that not everyone's a diehard fan, but like that's a part of the movie.
Yeah,
gotta stay.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when you got a franchise this big, there's 23 movies, and they're still pushing out. They've got like at least, I know at least 10 more movies slated. You know, you've got movies coming out until 2023.
Yeah,
some of them are untitled as of now, but you got a movie with or a franchise with at least 23 movies, and they are all, you know, interconnected in their own way, and you know. You can watch a movie like, I mean, obviously you can watch movies like Avengers Endgame and, you know, little tiebacks to Iron Man, but you've got other movies that you would never think would relate, you know? And like, you could just kind of pinpoint any of them and be like, oh yeah, this kind of ties into this movie and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's a very unique franchise and Iron Man started all of it.
Yeah.
It is a simple movie, simple origin story.
Yeah. You'll probably know this better than I do. The Nine Rings, wasn't that also a part of
the Nine Rings
or the Ten Rings?
Ten Rings.
Oh
yeah, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yes, that is like the terrorist organization.
Yeah, wasn't that part of the third movie as well?
Yeah, with tied in with the that well, Iron Man 3 was the fake Mandarin, you know.
Yeah.
And there, you kind of, I think, I want to say you saw a little hint of that in a flag in Iron Man with one of these terrorist groups or whatever. Yeah. But what was your question about it?
I think that was, I didn't know, was that, was also kind of like a, I don't know if they thought about that, but that was definitely something for the future. It's like, oh, there's this organization.
I think, so I don't know if you know this, but there's the guy who's like basically the president of Marvel Studios. His name is Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
He makes all the executive decisions and things like that. And
all
I think he's...
All hail Kevin Feige.
What?
All hail Kevin Feige.
Yeah. And so he makes all the executive decisions, and I think he's kind of like the guy that's got the big picture visionary idea for everything. And I don't think he would put anything in a movie with no reason, you know? And there's a movie coming out in, I believe, February of 2021, called Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
And that movie is about, you know, it's a martial artist type guy, superhero, and it's taking place in this universe. It's called The Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
And what has been confirmed by Kevin Feige is that the actual Mandarin is going to be the villain in that movie.
Oh, like the real.
Yeah, like in Iron Man 3, we got a fake Mandarin.
Yeah.
But this is going to tie back into that. So, you know, it's like you got a movie coming out in 2021 that's somewhat tying into a movie that came out in 2013, and you can even find little teases of it in 2008.
Yeah.
There was actually something I noticed at the end of Iron Man where the last time you see Phil Coulson appear, he said, "This isn't my first rodeo."
Yeah.
And, you know, in 2008, nobody knows what that means, and that just goes probably in one ear and right out the other.
Oh, yeah.
But then the day before, I'd actually watched Captain Marvel, and because that... chronologically, I'm doing all this in chronological order. Captain Marvel is the second movie to watch, and then you watch Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Phil Coulson's in Captain Marvel, and that's what he's referring to. And Captain Marvel didn't even come out until 11 years later.
Yeah.
So it's like, was that actually planned? You know, and if that is planned, holy crap.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's just so many little hints that Marvel's dropped just because of, or in Iron Man, and because of that movie. We have this huge franchise.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
Like, not only is it just a fantastic movie, but it's a fantastic Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the cornerstone, you know?
And you can watch it as a standalone movie. If you wanted to end it right there, you can. Yeah. You know, you can just pop that movie in and not worry about what movies I need to see before this.
Yeah, you could watch that movie, enjoy it, as I hope you should.
Yeah.
And that's it. You can be done.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even have to go watch any of the others if you don't want to. I mean, personally, this is my favorite of the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. But
As for an Iron Man movie, yes.
It's my favorite as well. But yeah, it's a fantastic movie. Do you have any last things you'd like to say about it? Or
I don't know. Just all around, great movie. I enjoyed rewatching it for the podcast. And thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, man, no problem. Stick around next week. Tune in next week. Jacob's actually going to be back, and we're going to be talking about Iron Man 2. So If you like what you heard today, join us next week for Iron Man 2. So, Jacob, where can people find you on social media or anything?
So, I do have an Instagram. It is Jacob Hunter without the U, but you'll get pretty bored on there.
Do you have any posts?
I have one at the moment. Yeah.
So, if you guys want to follow Jacob on Instagram, you can. There's his Instagram. He just gave it to you. But yeah, thanks, dude, for coming on the podcast. I'm looking forward to having you next week.
Thank you, man. I had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, no problem. Be sure to follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mullican, McNeillMullikin. No spaces or no capital letters. Letterboxd is where I post the movies I watch and I write reviews. You can also follow me on Instagram at _ McNeil, McNeillfollowed by two more underscores. This is where you can send me a message. You can give me your thoughts on the Iron Man movie, the Iron Man trilogy, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole. If you're also interested in joining for an episode, send me a message. I'd be glad to work something out with you. Tune in next week to Iron Man 2 and each week to listen to what movies we're going to be talking about leading up to Black Widow. If you're a geek like me, if you enjoyed this content, tune in. And if you made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations. And once again, thank you for listening. We'll be right back.